Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Oh, I'm so happy. Gene and I were just talking off the air. Gene Vernick is our producer, and she used to do just the life coach report on Tuesday mornings to kick off our show. And Gene got so good at that and such exquisite rants. I said, you know, we got to do a promotion here. So this is how it works around Action Radio. And so we finally figured out some of the last of the technical difficulties, I think, as far as that goes, to get Gene live, you know, to be able to push the buttons, do all the things that I can do. I'm in pretty good shape. So Gene, what you want to do now, of course, is put you and our caller in the screening room and have a little chat, and away you go. And that's going to be that's how that's going to work. And that's I'll let her figure out who it is. I know who it is. Okay, so today we're going to make history, which we tend to do occasionally. And what we're going to do is introduce you to a bill that's going to go to the Santa Rosa County Board of Supervisors. And the title of the show says it all. It's a bill creating an illegal alien-free zone in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Okay. Now, how can we do that? Well, we can do that because we have to do that because we have an emergency in Florida. We have a situation where you've got illegal aliens running across our border, screaming across our border, you know, at the request of the federal government, or at least the illegal federal government that's in Washington right now. So the occupation forces are trying to occupy our nation with an invasion of illegal aliens to do the bidding of the coup. Well, that's what's going on. All right. So one of the big problems is that most of those people are heading for Florida. Okay. So because they're heading for Florida, we got to do something about it. Now, I'd be doing something about this anyway, and I've been over this before, you know, how states can protect themselves, how counties can protect themselves, how, because of the 14th Amendment, you know, citizens of the United States are also citizens of the state in which they reside. Okay. Which means that people who are not citizens of the United States, you know, are not citizens of the state in which they reside. Okay. So in other words, not only do illegal aliens have no right to be in the United States, they have no right to be in any particular state either. Now, some states, you know, the communist states actually have things like, you know, okay. We got different stuff going on. All right, Gene, you can't hear me when you're in the screening room. That's I can tell Gene that. We do a little production stuff here. In fact, I might bring them both live. Just to see how it works. But yeah, so if I'm going to do a quick message. Let me just interrupt me for a second here. I'll give you my my Biden forecast, what I thought was going to happen before the election. Apparently it has happened.
Joe Biden's dark winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country.
All right. So Gene, it looks like it worked out. So you got the screening room, you got, and Dave, you're now live on the show. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, we have Gene's almost, we figured out some of our technical problems. So Gene's going to be producing the show, taking, you know, screening the calls and doing all kinds of things, running the live chat and helping me with our instant research projects, of which we're going to have tons to make the show, which is another level of show here at Action Radio. So things are improving. So Gene, did it go well? Got any questions before Dave and I sort of launch into our stuff, in which you're welcome, of course, join the conversation?
No, it's all good.
Okay, good. Sounds good. All right. So David Jones, we met not that long ago, actually, you know, at a rally a little bit ago, is with Santa Rosa Volunteers. He's one of the co-founders. And we have just all of a sudden discovered sort of like a real team effort here where we're combining our forces of Action Radio with Santa Rosa Volunteers. And so this is going to be just an incredible amount of activism and also fun. I really enjoy doing this stuff. I love being an advocate and I love being able to, you know, have an impact on our lives and increase everybody's freedom. And so we kind of came up with an idea to create an illegal alien-free zone here in Santa Rosa County. So I don't know about this. Dave, Did I think of it first? Did you think of it? Did I help write the bill? How did we do this anyway? Tell me how it came about.
Well, it was a kind of a brainchild of both of ours. So we were at the that Republican meeting, and I believe it was brought up by somebody else. And both of us kind of clicked across the room, looking at each other like, "That's brilliant." And then we jogged it around on the way home, and then you pretty much wrote the bill.
Yeah, I tend to do that, but that's okay. The impact comes from everybody. And here's the thing, too. We always want to give credit where credit's due. So whoever inspired us to do that, thank you. You know, that was a wonderful thing. And that's the beautiful thing about citizen legislation. You know, one person might have the ideas. You know, I'm pretty good at writing the bill, so I do that. You know, you've got the volunteers. You've got the folks that you can coordinate and go to the meetings and bring the yellow T-shirts and have the activism part. So everybody does something. And as we do this all together, you know, it has an incredible impact. So what do you think of just the idea in general? And where do you think we can take this? Because I think it's a good county model. I think it'd be good for other counties. And, you know, who knows where it can go from there. What do you think?
I think if it's presented correctly and we were able to get our idea across,
yeah.
It can potentially be big. The left is obviously going to call it racist and whatever other label they're going to put on it because they want the illegal aliens flooded through the country. But we don't too much worry about what their opinions are.
You know, it's interesting. I never think of race until it's thrown in my face somehow. You know, it just never occurs to me. And I know that sounds kind of either crazy, naive, or whatever, but it simply doesn't. I don't think in terms of race. So when I think in terms of illegal aliens, I mean, to me, if you're here from Ireland, you're just as illegal as if you're here from Honduras or from China or from Brazil or from New Zealand, you know, or from, I don't know, Indonesia. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. So in the illegal alien status is not a racial thing. It's a citizenship thing, and I think people tend to forget that. So what I want to do in the course of this show is basically get out all the arguments that might be against this as we present all the things that are in it that are good, you know. And that way, you'll have a podcast that you can use with the volunteers. Anybody else can as well. Anybody who wants to advocate that, you know, it's always best to know what the opposition is going to say, you know, beforehand, so you can kind of formulate your arguments and throw them back in their face. And I do that all the time with things like, you know, when someone says, "Well, why do you need an assault weapon?" I said, "You mean a freedom rifle?" Well, obviously, I need a freedom rifle for my freedom. So now I've totally changed the language, totally dismissed the argument, and thrown something back in their face. What's a freedom rifle? Well, obviously, what you call an assault weapon, you idiot. You know, we kind of go from there. But at least, you know, it gives you a position of power and strength to already have a lot of things in your head. I mean, no lawyer goes into a trial without knowing the answers to the questions. Otherwise, they're not a good lawyer. I mean, certainly things are surprising, and that's why you have to think on your feet. But in terms of just arguing the case, you know, we're all going to be, you know, like I say, we're not lawyers, but we're going to play one on the radio today and see what we can do with this. But, you know, the beauty of this is you don't have to be a lawyer. You know, legislation, this is something I fall into the trap myself of thinking, well, we've got to be lawyers. You know, you need lawyers to do all this stuff. And actually, you don't. Laws aren't written for lawyers. They're written for people. What I'm saying is that laws can also be written by people. You know, that's where we are. So this is going to be interesting. So what's the plan? So we've got the bill. I posted it last night to writeyourlaws.com. Illegal alien. Let me give you the official title here. The Santa Rosa County, Florida Illegal Alien Free Zone Act of 2021. So there we go. So what y'all going to do with it? And then we'll go into the details.
Tomorrow morning at 8:30, there is a county commissioner meeting. It's a working session. So I'm going to present the bill then. I'll give everybody, all the county commissioners and the county administrative staff a copy of it. Mm-hmm. And I'll kind of make our first argument, see what kind of traction we get, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't want to give any secrets that you might have that you're sort of reserving for the county commissioners. But how are you going to present this?
So during public forum, mm-hmm. I'll go up and present it, explain exactly what we're trying to accomplish and why.
Okay.
See if we can get a motion to put it on the agenda for the next mm-hmm. county commissioner meeting. And if we get a motion in a second, we should at least get it on the agenda to be discussed during public forum. That way, mm-hmm. the public can have their opportunity to analyze it, and during that time period, we'll be putting it out to the public and advocating for it, and we'll get some people and some numbers to show up for the meeting where it's actually on the agenda, to where we can get some support for it, show the county commissioners that the county's behind this idea.
Yeah, see, that's the most important thing. Politicians do tend to move, you know, what is it? You know, they see the light when they feel the heat. And so, but I don't want to think of this as a, you know, an us against them, a pressure situation. I've always been an advocate of persuasion of like, here's where we're together on this. And this is the way I go into it. We, you know, the people and you, the county commissioners, you know, we have a vested interest in not allowing illegal aliens into our county. Okay. So I would say, because we're not trying to, you know, it's, but in the same sense, we want them to act on this. But in a sense, we go at it with the idea, this is my old lobbyist training, right? We go at it that this will benefit you. This will benefit you because you'll have more tax dollars. This will benefit you because you'll have less crime. This will benefit you because you won't have to have the same infrastructure. This will benefit every citizen in the county because they're not going to have to, you know, fight for jobs with illegal aliens. You know, kids won't have to fight for space in school with illegal aliens. You know, we won't have the crime of illegal aliens. The sheriffs will, you know, be able to do other things for citizens and lawful immigrants. You know, so there's a whole bunch of reasons why this will benefit the county and benefit the county commissioners for all the things that they don't have to do and don't have to deal with. So we could present it that way. What do you think?
Right, absolutely. And I think that that's kind of the way our government's supposed to work, right? They're up there representing us. So if they see that the community and the constituents are behind an idea, they are supposed to get behind that idea. So I really don't see much opposition. Maybe one or two of the county commissioners, just because they like to oppose anything that I present.
Well, they're public. Yeah. So if you want to mention names, you know, because they are public, holding a public office, I don't mind you doing that. You know, I don't do it with private citizens, you know, especially if they're, you know, being accused or judged of something just because, you know, they're private citizens. But if you're a public figure, it's like, you know, people can publicly accuse me, write about me, do things like that, because I'm a public figure. You know, you're rapidly becoming a public figure. It goes with the territory. So, how do you think they stack up? If you had to give, or you may not want to, just because, you know, you might want to influence somebody and not give their position. So again, there's a lot of discretion that goes into this. This is why I always tell people ahead of time, you know, with disclaimers, you know, so you can mention, but you might not want to, just for strategic, you know, purposes. So
yeah.
So what do you think?
If I had to put a number on it, it would probably be Bob Cole and Dave Peach that would oppose something like this. Okay. And not because ideologically they disagree with it, but more just because they want to oppose anything that we put in front of them.
You see, that's so stupid. That's that knee-jerk thing. That's like Trump derangement syndrome. Well, Trump's for it, therefore it must be bad, therefore we're against it. And you look at everything that's gone on, you know, since the Biden insurrection, since the Marxist Muslim mafia took over the White House and imposed the government upon us, everything they've done against Trump has been wrong. The border, Afghanistan, you know, the Russian oil pipeline, you know, not having our pipeline, you know, inflation, the economy, spending, the national debt, taxes. You know, there's not a thing you can name that Biden, you know, illegally reversed that hasn't been worse for the country. So that kind of knee-jerk reaction, I don't understand, because look what we got us. We're in this terrible position simply because they wanted to do the opposite of what Trump did and what absolutely worked. All right.
Well, you got to get emotion out of it. They make emotional decisions based on personality and how they feel and what they think somebody else is going to feel. You have to get all of that out of it and actually look at the policy. Is this or is this not a good thing for our country, our community? If you look at things objectively like that, then you shouldn't have a problem.
One would think. Okay. So I think part of the problem is there's the left who loves illegal aliens. They try to call them illegal immigrants, and they try and change the language. And I've got the Plyler v. Doe decision, which we might get into, you know, over the course of now. And I've also invited Jonathan Mosley, you know, who is our constitutional lawyer, Second Amendment lawyer, you know, does our legal report Thursdays. If he went, he might pop up on the screen anytime to join us, because he's good at this kind of stuff. But there's the way the left changes the language. They say, you know, undocumented immigrants, okay, which is not the truth. You know, first of all, everybody's documented. Everybody has a birth certificate. And they're not immigrants. An immigrant, you have to be legally invited to come into the country after applying to come into the country, after being vetted to come into the country, and then come on in, and you get a green card. That's what makes you a legal immigrant. People that just walk in as illegal aliens, you know, the other thing is that illegal aliens have no rights. There's this strange belief, and the Supreme Court even said it. In fact, I was reading the dissenting opinion in Plyler v. Doe, the people that said that Texas could withhold education money from illegal aliens. You know, they still said, well, they're still, you know, they still have constitutional rights, which is nonsense. I mean, I can argue that, you know, six ways from Sunday. But let's talk about what this bill does. An illegal alien free zone, the reason I got where I took the idea from this is Berkeley. I know that sounds strange, but Berkeley had all these signs, nuclear free zone. So Berkeley, California, they have signs at the entrance to their county, every street you can think of going into Berkeley, and a big sign out there says it has like a nuclear power plant or a nuclear bomb with all those big red circles and a line through it. No nukes. So there's no nuclear power going into Berkeley. There's no nuclear research going on in Berkeley, even though the Berkeley, you know, the University of California labs, where all their workers are, they live in Berkeley. But so they declared themselves a nuclear-free zone. The other radicals out there declared themselves sanctuary cities. So in other words, despite the fact that it's illegal for illegal aliens to be here, they can still have sanctuary in places like San Francisco and now California, and I think Michigan, New York, and various other places. So I'm thinking, okay, well, if they can do it, we can too. So that's why back in 2016, I wrote the idea for a Second Amendment sanctuary, which I actually called a talk show up in Redding, you know, the sensible part of California up north, saying, hey, once you guys declare yourselves a Second Amendment sanctuary where you don't have to go by the laws of California that are illegal or the laws by the federal government that are illegal. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. So this is just an extension of that. So there's a lot of precedent for the idea of taking a county and declaring it a particular zone, you know, in the public interest, even though most of those aren't. It's illegal to have illegal aliens, you know, to create a sanctuary for them because now you're just an accessory to the crime. But it's perfectly legal, I think, to support U.S. law, even though the government doesn't support it, to keep illegal aliens out of our county and out of our state, especially since we have no southern border. And most of the illegal aliens, I've already said, they're heading for Florida. So the Mongol hordes, you know, the barbarians at the gate that destroyed Rome, you know, the invasion is coming. In fact, it's here. And that's why I think this is necessary. Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to do another declaration, and a lot of counties are kind of doing that. They're declaring Second Amendment sanctuary. We actually did that in Santa Rosa County. Well, mm-hmm. that declaration doesn't hold the same weight that that an ordinance or a law. So I'm going to pitch this as a county ordinance. Mm-hmm. You know, both of us kind of agreed on that, if I remember
absolutely.
Correctly.
Yep. It's in the bill.
Right, and that is in the law. That is an ordinance. It's not just a declaration by a certain board that can be undone later.
Mm-hmm. You know, I actually wrote, and I think I've said it to you. If not, I will again. When they came out with all these, you know, resolutions of Second Amendment sanctuary counties, you know, and they had a bunch of whereases. That's how I know a bill is written by lawyers and idiots. It's a whereas this and whereas that, and you get about 20 whereases, and you're already lost. All right, bills should be simple, straightforward, and logical. And so I wrote an actual ordinance, you know, which was enforceable, you know, and it had teeth. You know, laws have enforcement provisions. And I actually added one to this, and I added a disbursement provision. So I don't know if you've heard the latest yet, but I want to make sure – I want to go over it with you and with everybody else in case anybody wants to call us, 215-383-3832. And let's talk about this. So we got the title, the Santa Rosa County, Florida Illegal Alien Free Zone, written yesterday. And so let me – is it yesterday? No, wait a minute.
Yes.
My date's wrong. Well, I dated it for today. I must have written this at midnight or something when I finished it up. Okay, anyway, it came out today.
18th?
Yeah, all right. So the introduction, let me just I want to go through all the sections and get comments as we go. So my introduction to this bill is illegal aliens present a dangerous, costly, and completely preventable criminal burden upon the lawful citizens and legal immigrants of Santa Rosa County, Florida. As illegal aliens are criminals simply by being in the country illegally and therefore our county illegally, all that need be established to assess criminal penalties is to verify their non-citizen status. Citizenship is public information, declared every time one registers to vote, enters or leaves the U.S., and many other necessary declarations. So anyone not a U.S. citizen, permanent resident, on temporary visa status, or a legal tourist is unlawfully in the country. Comments so far? What do you think? You like it? I like it.
Yep. Beautiful.
Okay. Next paragraph. Still in the introduction, the massive influx of illegal aliens crossing our now non-existent southern border, most of whom are heading for Florida, creates a real emergency for Florida. Therefore, to protect our state and our county, Santa Rosa County shall be declared an illegal alien-free zone. Signs to this, like some background noise. There we go. Yeah, any background noise does show up on the show. So if your cat meows, if your kid calls, hey, we hear. Anyway, so let me just get back here. So illegal alien-free zone. Signs to this effect shall be posted at main road entrances to the county. This ordinance shall be enforced countywide. It is our sincere hope that every county in Florida and counties across the United States will use this legislation as a model. So that's my intro. Do you think I missed anything? Anything you think could be added to it or taken away, or are you pretty happy with that language?
No, I'm super happy with that language. And if we can get it passed here in Santa Rosa County, I think we can. We have the people to advocate and start implementing around us as well.
Oh, that'd be great.
So I like the fact that that's in there as well.
Well, thank you. This is the kind of thing, and like I say, these are all subject to change because, you know, we have the template, and here's the beauty of this legislation. You can give out copies of this, but I think it, you know, as well, I would also give out the links to the bill, because any changes that we make as it's going through the process, every time I make a change to it, and I'm the only one that could do that. I've got the website, it's, you know, just so people don't screw around with our bills. But every change, then when people go to the link the next time, it's got the change in it. So it automatically updates everybody, you know, once they have the link to the bill. But you can certainly hand out copies, but that copy is only as good as the, you know, until we make the next change. And so that's the beauty of doing everything online. Okay, next section. And this is actually a fairly short bill as bills go. You know, you go to Congress, you get 2,000 pages that nobody reads. I don't believe in that. Simple, single subject legislation. That's the way to go. Implementation.
No.
Citizenship shall be – oh, did you have a comment, sir? I'm sorry.
No, I was just kind of echoing the theory of short, simple, to the point, single item legislation. That's the way our Constitution was written. That's the way laws are supposed to be written. We've gotten into this period where everything's 3,000 and 4,000, 6,000 pages long. Nobody ever reads it, and it's too complicated for the majority of the public to understand it, so they get away with bloody murder.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to give all the legislators the book The Elements of Style by E.B. White. It's the best English structural composition book ever written. And as you might expect, it's very short. So, you know, brevity is the source of wit, according to Shakespeare. And so the fewer words you can use to say something, generally the more effective it is. You know, you look at the Bill of Rights is 10 sentences, basically. You know, the Ten Commandments is 10 sentences. And look at the impact that those two have had on the world. You know, you don't need, 50,000 pages of cabbage picking regulation. You know, you need like a paragraph. So it can be done.
Yep.
It can be done. And so let me go through the implementation here and see what you think. Citizenship shall be checked at every interaction with Santa Rosa County government, including but not limited to voter registration, which it already is. We already know that, but I wanted to put it in anyway. Voter registration, vehicle registration and driver's license renewal, business license application and renewal, health or any other county inspections, property tax payment, plus any interaction with Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, including traffic stops, mandatory check-ins, sexual offender registration, etc. What do you think?
I like it. So the traffic stops, having interactions with law enforcement,
yep.
I'm still
trying to get
my head around how an individual would prove their citizenship. But if they got a driver's license and they had to prove their citizenship to get the mm-hmm. driver's license, then no issue there.
Yeah. The only other thing I was thinking of, and we may want to put this in the bill, is that carrying a voter registration card, which also proves your citizenship, might be really handy. So I think they have the small card version if you leave it in your wallet. But if we're checking the driver's license and somebody is found without a driver's license, that's a pretty good indication that some follow-up investigation is necessary. And if someone makes a traffic stop, you know, you have like fixer-up tickets, things like that. You might have the sheriff, and this is why I didn't want to get into details too heavily in this, but the sheriffs could issue a fixer ticket. In other words, you have to prove your citizenship within 2 weeks to the county sheriff, you know, based on this traffic summons. Failure to do so would result in a bench warrant for your arrest to prove, you know, who you are, and then we're going to find out. So, as any traffic stop can escalate into more and more investigations, searches, probable cause, things like that. I think a traffic stop where someone doesn't have a driver's license, you know, would be the first indication of a future, you know, maybe they just forgot it. Okay, you forgot it. Okay, so just come down the station, show us your driver's license. That'll be proof of citizenship, as long as we're checking citizenship for Santa Rosa County residents. Now, of course, that doesn't count for out of county residents. We're not concerned with them. We're talking about people that live here, that live here or work here or go to school here or anything else. They're in the county doing something. And so, you know, the normal people passing through, tourists, you know, citizens of other states, other counties, we're not talking about them. We're talking about the folks that actually live in Santa Rosa County. So it's not a burden to hop to the sheriff's office and, you know, confirm your citizenship. Of course, if you can't, then we seize your house. it's very simple. So there's tremendous incentive. See, the whole point of this bill, and I want to make this really clear, too, this bill is going to be, I'll give you a little heads up here, it's based on asset forfeiture. We're not going to be arresting people. We're not going to be throwing them in jail. We're not going to be rounding them up. We're not going to be knocking on doors. We're not going to be searching. We're not going to be doing any of that stuff. The beauty of this bill, I think, is that it is solely concerned with asset forfeiture. So we're going to make it so miserable for you to live here. Anything you accumulate illegally in Santa Rosa County will be confiscated. That's where I think enforcement is. And that saves all the trouble of detention centers, of the extra cost, of the judiciary, of Congress saying, well, you're messing in immigration, because we're not. We're just dealing with criminals. Okay, and so in that respect, sort of, this is kind of a long roundabout way of saying it, but this is, I think it's very straightforward the way we're doing this. So a traffic stop, yeah, if you had a voter registration card or if you had a license that was, you know, that was done after this law takes effect, you know, so you've obviously had your citizenship checked, then that's the way we could do it. So, you know, you might want to have a voter registration card carried, but you know, you can't require people to vote, so that's not a good thing. I think, though, as people register and get their citizenship checked, will gradually work their way through the county in over the course of a year. That's fine. Does that make sense?
And I think the asset forfeiture is part of this is also going to help us get it through some of the bureaucracy as well, because the politicians like that idea.
Yeah, but they're not going to get the money. I thought this last night about midnight. I know how to do it. No, is it, well, maybe a little early. But anyway, let me continue on here because it gets better. Enforcement. Here we go. So, and again, if you recommend, don't be afraid to recommend any changes or things I can do, because it's very easy for me to go into the bill and actually, you know, do things and change it up pretty quickly. So we've got that. So enforcement. Upon establishing status as an illegal alien, multiple illegal aliens, families, or groups, all such adult persons, we're not going after the kids, okay, adult persons shall be subject to immediate and full civil asset forfeiture. This shall include, but not be limited to, all property, vehicles, businesses, and any other assets within and subject to county jurisdiction. Pretty simple, huh?
Yep. I would probably put real property if you're going to make a distinguishing between property and vehicles, because vehicles are technically property. I think you were more specifically talking about real property, like real estate.
So and would real property include any land, anything on the land, all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay, let me put that in. Good change. Thank you. Let's make it real property. Yeah, that's the beauty of citizen legislation. We can just do it. that makes sense. See, this is why I wanted your opinion, because there's a lot of stuff I don't know about, and anybody else that has changes that will make this a better bill, you know, feel free, and I'll put that in. So then when you copy this tomorrow, we'll have real property in there. All right. So disbursement – this is my favorite part. This is the part I came up with last night after talking to you. Disbursement of funds from assets seized. All funds resulting from the sale and all funds resulting from the sale and disposal of all seized assets shall be apportioned in a yearly refund to all U.S. citizen and lawful immigrant residents of Santa Rosa County, Florida. What do you think? So we're going to take the money from the illegals, and we're going to give it to the people who were burdened with the cost of the illegals in the first place. That's my logic.
In what form?
Good question. I would think a yearly. I don't know what to, how do a yearly direct deposit. have a fund. Again, this is something the supervisors might come up, or you might want to, you know, add to this bill. What's the best way to disperse funds to every adult in the county? You know, how does Alaska disperse their oil company royalties? Everybody in Alaska makes, you know, many thousands of dollars a year for having pipelines and oil, you know, being drilled in their state. So they get royalties, right? So
that's actually,
you know,
exactly the model that I was thinking of, but I don't know how they do it. But that would be a good model to follow.
Okay. So if you can look that up and give that, like I say, I don't want to burden this with the exact methodology. That's something the supervisors might want to research and do on their own. And so, but if you can supply them and say, look, here's a model for how to do this, and you might have a separate form, say, here's a good disbursement, you know, procedure or an apportionment. If it were state, it'd be easy. They just do it in a state tax refund. You know, how did the government get the stimulus money to everybody, the federal government? You know, they just dropped it in our bank accounts, which is kind of scary. So could the county, you know, could people register for a direct deposit with the county whereby, you know, at the end of the year, the funds, you know, are basically divided by the adult population, you know, over 18-year-olds, you know, in the county who are lawfully here, you know, like I say, immigrant or citizen, they all share in the profits equally. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll have to look in and research that further.
Okay. All right. I leave that to your capable hands to dig into that. Now, there's an exception I put in the disbursement as well. Holding an ITIN number is usually an indication of an illegal alien illegally filing a tax return, usually for child and other tax credits available while not declaring any income. No resident with an ITIN number shall be eligible for this refund unless proven to be a citizen or lawful immigrant. If found to be an illegal alien, full asset forfeiture shall commence immediately. I don't really want to call it a refund. I guess it would be a refund because the money, we're giving back people money that illegal aliens basically stole. But I don't know if I want to call it a refund or a disbursement, or I'm not sure how to call it, or an asset distribution. You know, think of what might be a good term for that rather than refund.
Yeah, I don't think refund is the correct term there either.
So what do I want to call it then? Asset distribution?
Yeah, that's better.
And we can still change it too. Asset distribution.
I'll write that down as well.
Okay. So make this. This is what I like to go over this on the air. So what we're doing here, folks, is we're making broadcast history. Okay. Because no show, you know, that I know of, and I've looked, you know, there isn't a show in the world that actually writes citizen legislation on the air. Okay. So what we're doing here in crafting this bill on the air that you can participate in joining if you want. If you listen to the podcast, it's a bit, you know, it's still not too late because you can always, get a hold of. I got my email, you know, on the site, or you can call the show at a future date, or you can, get us on Facebook or things like that. So there are ways to communicate, but the best way, of course, is to listen live. When we are actually writing legislation, you can participate in that process. This is an open process. It's not limited to Dave and me. In fact, Gene, if you have a suggestion, feel free, hop into the conversation. In fact, let me go to Gene right now. Gene, what do you think so far? Do you have any comments, questions, ideas, or other for us?
It's good. I would say, how about give back? As
give
the
back.
Term.
Ooh, I like that. But, well, actually, we're not necessarily giving. We're basically taking something from a criminal. What do I think of that? You know, we'll talk off the air maybe to talk about it. It's a good term. I'm not settled on any of them. Asset distribution, give back. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, my only concern there is we stay away from terms that are more socialistic, because that has a very socialist vibe. If you're, you know, giving every, if you're redistributing an asset to all of the community.
Right.
So I want to stay away from anything related to that, but I'd have to really look in and see what term I'd like the best.
Yeah, and also that, if you're giving back to the community, there might be a push by the left to say, well, since you've got this free money, you know, why don't you give it to, you know, our causes? And, you know, the people who want to go after that money, because it's going to be, you know, it could be a sizable amount, depending on how many illegal aliens are here. But if we start, seizing, you know, houses, cars, I wish we could seize bank accounts, but that's not our jurisdiction. But, real property vehicles, businesses, things like that, this could amount to a whole lot of money. Imagine if they did this in Miami. It's just a thought. It could be a staggering amount of money.
Yeah, if you, I don't really see, I see it being nominal as far as our population goes versus the amount of illegals that we have currently.
Right.
But like you said, if you did it in an area like Miami, mm-hmm. it could be staggering numbers. But if we get this in now and it's early, we won't have the alien problems that we're experiencing in other parts of the state.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the whole idea is the idea of state citizenship. You know, I'm going to go over the 14th Amendment a little bit because the biggest objection is going to be education, and we'll get to that in a minute. But that's the thing. And the other thing, the reason I highlighted the ITIN number, that stands for Individual Tax Identification Number. It is in lieu of the Social Security number. Okay, so they give that the IRS. You know, wants money from illegal aliens. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as federal law, as I read it, is concerned, illegal aliens cannot pay taxes. Okay, you can't buy, you know, legitimacy, you know, while you are a criminal by paying taxes. So illegal, this is going to sound kind of ironic, but illegal aliens have no right to pay taxes. Paying taxes, you know, is something that you do for necessary government services. Since illegal aliens are not entitled to any government services other than deportation and criminal proceedings, well, they're not entitled to that. The thing is, they're not entitled to government services. So they're not entitled to pay taxes for government services. So the idea that, and this is something we have to change at the IRS, we've got to get rid of this ITIN number, because what most illegal aliens are doing is that they're working under the table, they're working illegally, they're sending money back home wherever home is, and they're using this ITIN number to qualify for child tax credits, you know, head of household tax credits. So they're actually making money on tax credits, you know, that are designed to offset income tax. But if they're not paying income taxes because they're not declaring any income because they're criminals, they're still getting those other credits. And that's wrong, and we need to stop that. And that's why, you know, someone not be entitled, I think, to our asset distribution if they are – I kind of like asset distribution. I kind of like that term. It's sort of growing on me. You know, if they're – you know, even if they're illegally paying taxes, because that's not a way – you're not citizens. You're not entitled to be here. Just because the IRS is screwed up does not mean that we have to be. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right, let's get the big one, education. This is where we're going to have problems. All assets as mentioned above shall be seized from any adult illegal aliens if their children or grandchildren are found to be in any Santa Rosa County school. So now, notice we're not going after the kids, okay? And I did that on purpose because kids are kids. It's not their fault. You know, I mean, I was transferred from Canada to Australia to the United States while I was still a minor. Okay, I know how this works. All right, it's culture shock. It's kind of crazy, but you know, it was my fault. I didn't take me to all these different countries. I stayed here of my own free will as an adult, but that's different. Okay, but as a kid, I was moved around. So I'm going after the kids. You know, what we're saying is their parents who brought them here illegally or had them here illegally. Those are the folks we're going after, because illegal aliens make the decision every single day to stay here illegally. It is a serial crime. It is a crime committed every day. And every DACA person that's here as an adult, you know, after their 18th birthday, every day that they are here, they are making the decision to break our laws and stay here, making that a serial crime. So I don't think I have any sympathy for DACA either. All right. So I also say parents and grandparents, because grandparents could be the guardians of the kids. Okay, so the parents might be illegal alien, you know, the parents, you know, anyway, if that's why I put grandparents in there too, because a lot of times grandparents have custody of kids. Anyway, so if you're a legal alien, whoever you are, your stuff can get seized. And people are like, oh, Greg, how can you do that? How can you take money from grandparents? Da, da, da. They're not a responsibility. I don't want to take money from grandparents. I want the proper authority to give them the money, their own country, their own welfare system, their own social security system, wherever they are legally under the jurisdiction, whatever country they're under the jurisdiction of, they're the ones responsible. So I'm not trying to hurt older folks or parents or anything like that. I'm trying to get them to the correct legal authority, the national government that is responsible for them and not the American taxpayer. And that's the logic of this. And one of the ways to do that is to seize the assets of illegal alien parents so that they will leave Santa Rosa and take their kids out of our schools. That's what this is about. Explain that well?
Very well.
Oh, good. I don't want it to sound like, you know, Greg, your wonderful hour. I'm kind of proud of this, but you know what I'm saying. So don't be afraid to be critical. And Gene, like I said, just leap in anytime you want to. Second paragraph, the county shall, in enforcing this ordinance, here's what gets really messy. But I want to go this slowly and carefully. The county shall, in enforcing this ordinance, defy the illegal and intellectually impossible decision by the Supreme Court in Plyler v. Doe. Okay, now Plyler was the superintendent of schools in this town in Texas, all right? And he basically, they stopped money going, they said, we're not going to fund illegal aliens. So they're doing what we're doing. They did it differently. I think we're doing it, but by doing it by asset forfeiture, it changes the entire argument. Anyway, so it says, Supreme Court case in Plyler v. Doe, in which a legitimate Texas law to withhold funds for the education of illegal aliens was overturned, and a Supreme Court legislative remedy was unconstitutionally incorporated into the Supreme Court opinion of the majority. This case was incorrectly decided, it deserves to be defied for lack of jurisdiction and authority to make law, and is therefore of no consequence to this ordinance before the Santa Rosa County Board of Supervisors. The reasons for this being an impossible opinion of the Supreme Court are, and I'll get to them in just a second, but this is, I'll tell you right now, Dave, this is where you're going to run in trouble. They're going to say you, in fact, I've got it on Facebook already. I got people saying, well, you can't defy the Supreme Court. They make laws. You know, they interpret the Constitution. That's a bunch of BS. We've got to start challenging the Supreme Court when they are wrong. And in this case, imposing their own social – in fact, even the dissenting opinion. I've got most of the way through the dissent, and this was a 5-4 decision. This was not a big majority. This was as close a split as it gets. So you had 5 liberals, and you had 4 conservatives. So it was Rehnquist was the Chief Justice at the time. So Rehnquist, O'Connor, and I've forgotten the other two. Were the 4 that dissented. And the dissent says basically the same thing. This is judicial activism. They had no right to do it. You've got a little bit of background noise. There we go. The dissenters made it really clear that the majority, the liberals, basically came up with a conclusion they wanted and then just basically made up arguments to support it, which is really fascinating. The dissent is great. It'll provide you with arguments against the thing. And you can quote that too. If you can quote the majority, you can certainly quote the dissenting opinion.
Right.
So, Dave, that's going to be a challenge.
I think
go ahead.
The word defy is incorrect there.
Okay. Well, what should we put in
state? As a state as a county in a state, we're not defying their decision. We're going to nullify their decision, which we do have the authority to do.
So shall nullify. I'll put shall nullify. That sounds good. So nullify the illegal and intellectually impossible decision. Okay. All right. So good, that's a good change. I like that. Anything else you want to change?
No.
Okay. So here's the first argument, and this is the one I made to you, and this is one I've made many times, and this is the one that the left cannot answer. And the first reason that this Supreme Court decision is insane is that illegal aliens cannot be in our country. Therefore, they have no rights in our country because you can't have rights in a place you are not allowed to be in.
Right.
David. Yeah. I don't see any way around. Go ahead.
Somebody has a right to the contents of your refrigerator because they broke into your house. It's like you said, intellectually impossible and borderline mental to have that train of thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Second reason, the Supreme Court cannot compel any individual, family, or government entity to fund an illegal operation within the government schools. It is the criminal theft of education tax funds designated for American citizens and lawful immigrants. How's that?
I like it.
Okay. 3, illegal aliens have no immigration status because they are not immigrants. One must apply and be invited into the U.S. legally to be considered an immigrant and must also have an ID declaring their permanent resident status known as a green card. Good so far?
Yep.
That last one. Any funds mandated for the education of illegal aliens in Santa Rosa County schools constitutes foreign aid, as it goes to foreign nationals who have no citizenship jurisdiction in the U.S. per the, quote, subject to the jurisdiction clause of the 14th Amendment. Foreign aid by law must come from an act of Congress and be paid by the federal government. We'll get into that in a minute. But the whole 14th Amendment thing. That's. I'm sure you've got questions on that. Do you have any questions on it so far? And then we can get into it.
I was just thinking, there is quite a bit of federal money in our public school system. So is that going to be the arc we get? Well, we are. This did come from Congress. We are funding this, so there's nothing that you can do about it. Yeah. And you got to remember, too, especially with the school board, we're going to get a lot of pushback. That entire school board is liberal. And until we get some new members, they are not going to like this, not one little bit.
I know, it's going to be so much fun. Well, the school board's another thing, but we're not going to the school board. I have my guest actually called in, who I've scheduled for tomorrow, is actually called in today, so one day early. So, Gene, if you can talk to our caller here waiting on hold and basically say what I just said and see what our guest wants to do, and then he's welcome to come on the show now. Not a problem, but we're going to talk about that. Okay, this is why I love having a producer. I can do stuff like this. Isn't this great? So
yeah,
anyway,
a lot better.
Yeah. So all right. So let me get back to where I was. Yes, I'm so used to doing all this stuff myself. So it's just great to have the help, and I really appreciate Gene being here. All right, let me get back to my bill. I just got to rearrange a couple things on my screen here. And all right, so E-Verify. This is the last part of the bill, and then we get to jurisdiction. So E-Verify. The county shall begin an E-Verify check of all employers doing business in the county of Santa Rosa, including first all employees of Santa Rosa County. Then, proceeding from largest to smallest, all government and private entities with employees shall have their E-Verify records inspected. Companies found in violation of state E-Verify law shall have their businesses and all related assets seized. County officers, supervisors, and managers found to be in violation of state E-Verify law shall be subject to personal asset forfeiture. So there we go. Questions, awesome. Comments? Yeah, okay.
No,
and the jurisdiction?
No, I like that.
Okay, yeah, and the reason I want to make it very clear that the first people we will look at are the employees of Santa Rosa County. So we're not giving government a pass on this. You know, we're not.
Well, if you listen to the school board, they're the largest employer in our county anyway. So that would logically be where we'd.
So the school board would be included in this bill because we're talking all employees of Santa Rosa County.
Right.
Here's a nasty question. Do you know of any illegal aliens employed by Santa Rosa County? Don't mention
I don't.
This point.
I really wouldn't expect to find any problems there, but you never know.
Okay. All right. So it looks like my guest left. Gene, what happened? Text me. Tell me what's going on. Or you can tell me right now if you can.
Oh,
here. Yeah.
Yeah. He said he was going to talk, so I'm not sure what happened. He maybe just dropped the line or something.
Okay. Let's see. Let me play something here real quick, and I'll text. So an announcement until we find out for sure whether he wants to come on. Let me see. What can I play for you guys? I played that. Gene, this is where Gene can pick something too. Say, hey, Gene, you always want to have something ready at this time. I'm going to play this for you right now. I'll be right back. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. Action Radio. Dangerously cool. See all the fun we have here? Gene, see all those buttons you can play with? This is going to be great. I think I've unleashed a monster. So overall, Dave, questions, comments? Are you happy with this? Does this make sense? Can you present this to the county commissioners? What do you think?
Yeah, I can absolutely present this to the county commissioners. It's especially as fast as you put this thing together, we brainstormed for, half hour yesterday, and then today on the air. I'm sure we'll tweak and move a little bit as differing opinions come in, but overall I think a well-thought-out bill that can be presented.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I don't know why, God put this skill into my head that I can actually write this stuff fairly quickly. And so it's a good thing, because I don't know who else, you know, does citizen legislation other than, you know, me and us at Action Radio and the folks that are trying it. And I'm trying to teach as many people as possible how to do this. And so we spread this around, but we use the skills that everybody has. You know, you'll be able to present this. You're a great speaker. You know, your arguments are wonderful and sincere, and that comes across very clearly. So you're a tremendous advocate for these causes as well. So that's, you know, we all do what we do, and then we go from there. But I think there's going to be support for this simply because nobody wants illegal aliens, but people don't know what to do. And they've been convinced that, well, the federal government has responsibility for this, and you can't go against the federal government, and, you know, they do immigration and stuff. Well, you know, as I try to make this distinction, illegal aliens are not immigrants. This is not immigration law. This has nothing to do with immigration law. This has nothing to do with naturalization law. The Constitution says that the Congress shall make uniform laws of naturalization, which means everybody gets to come to the country under an equal criteria. That makes sense, but that's got nothing to do with this. This is, that'd be like saying bank, like equating bank robbers with depositors. There's a difference, okay? You know, one's lawful, the other
isn't. Absolutely. We're not going to the border or ports of entry and dictating how the federal government runs immigration. We're just enforcing the laws. They are illegal. They are not supposed to be here. We don't want them here. Opposed to saying, yeah, we love criminals, why don't you come stay here, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, very good. Do you have any Santa Rosa, you know, volunteers news you want to talk about or anything else that's going on? I don't want to keep you too much longer. I've had you almost an hour already, but it's been great to have you. But this is going to be fun. I'll make these changes that we talked about. I'll put them in the bill. You'll be able to print it up, you know, fairly quickly after the show.
Yeah, the only other thing real quick, because I know we're running out of time, we've got the Ascension Sacred Heart has mandated their vaccine program. I think it's November 12th. They all have to have their vaccine. There's a pharmacy here in Milton. I do not know which pharmacy, but I had a pharmacist come into my shop wanting a job yesterday because he was mandated the shot and he refused to get it. And these are medical professionals. I've had two new nurses come to me yesterday from a nursing home here in Santa Rosa County that their nursing home is mandating the shot. And there's another hospital that's they haven't mandated it, the vaccine yet, but they're asking all their employees for their vaccine cards. So
that's mandating it. That's mandating it. They're asking for cards. That's mandating it. Yeah,
exactly. So it's spreading further. Now there's different industries, private companies, the cable, normal everyday companies that aren't locally owned. They're more chains, Walmart, that are mandating this vaccine. So we're pushing heavy on that. We're doing a lot of rallies. I can't cover everything, unfortunately. I don't have the people or the time to cover every business that's trying to do this, but I'm putting information out there as fast as I can.
Well, is that something that the county commission can regulate? Like Milton City Council said, there's going to be no mask mandates, you know, in the city of Milton. Can the county say there are no, we're not going to tolerate, you know, vaccine requirements. You know, you can't force people to do something against their will medically, especially the medical people in the field. You know, that to me is insane. I mean, it should be listened to, not mandated. Is that a county thing, or is that something different, or is it state?
I would I'll look up the law on that, actually. I would assume the governor would have the power to do that, and actually I don't know why he hasn't already, his current stance on different things. But when you start regulating private companies' internal policies, that kind of gets into a weird area. This is a civil rights issue, not a company policy issue.
You know, and I make a real distinction on that, too, and it's something I've been thinking about for a while, and we need to talk about this probably in one of our chats, is that you don't or you shouldn't give up your constitutional rights, you know, when you take a job. You know, you don't give up your right to your body for an unreasonable seizure, which is what this is. They are seizing your body and forcing something into your body that you don't want. And if you do want it, that's fine. We're not talking about you. But for the folks that do not want this messenger RNA gene, change in your body for life, If you don't want that, you shouldn't have to have that. And that's a kind of a constitutional right that that an employer has no right to violate. Now, the difference would be, and I make this clear distinction also, like First Amendment, you have the right to you know, speak freely. You have the right to your opinion. However, does that mean you can stand on your desk at work and preach to everybody? No, it doesn't, because you're at work. It's inappropriate. But you can still exercise your right to free speech in pretty much anywhere else. In the same way that football players should be fired for kneeling, you know, because they object to the national anthem and the national policy, then go kneel outside the stadium in your own clothes. You know, you're off the clock. Do whatever you want. You know, so
the biggest difference I've found in this is the threat of violence. Threatening somebody that you're going to voluntarily resign or we're going to fire you, that is violent. You're threatening people's livelihoods and their personal security and their family. So you're forcing an injection of foreign object into somebody's body under the threat of violence. That if we can't rally everybody behind that, regardless of their ideology, I don't know what I'm supposed to be able to do.
No, that makes sense. I mean, it is an assault. I think you're absolutely right. And it's a permanent assault because you cannot recover from that. You're permanently changed. Your DNA is permanently changed. You permanently have spike proteins. You know, in fact, I've started a quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D3, zinc, you know, regimen, not to protect me against COVID because I already had it, but protect me against vaccinated people because I got an article that I'll probably go over in the next hour, depending on how things go, that it's the vaccinated folks that are creating the Delta variant. You know, the Delta variant is much more contagious, but it's much less deadly, especially to people. Well, I mean, I don't think he's using the word deadly because 99.5% of people are, you know, get over this thing anyway without treatment. So, you know, it's hardly what I would call dangerous. But the fact that the Delta variant is created in the vaccinated because Peter McCullough talked about this last night, Dr. McCullough, you know, because they have the vaccine is tailored for a very narrow virus, the original one. Well, the original one has been gone for at least 6 months. You know, and so the variants, I can change around this. And viruses can mutate in as little as 10 hours, I've read. Okay, so 10 hours after you get the vaccine, your virus is already changing form to go around your vaccine. And so the Delta variant is the result of the vaccinated. I got a Natural News article I'm going to probably talk about in the next hour. Yeah. What do you think, Dave?
I think you're right. And now that with all the booster shots and that kind of thing, what you're going to find is every time there's a booster shot, there's another boost for another variant, another outbreak of a new variant, because like you said, your body is producing these spike proteins and then shedding them off and infecting those of you that are around you. So please, anybody, if you haven't started those vitamin regimens, you've got to do that. You've got to boost your immune system. The B1, C, zinc, both the capsule and the elogen zinc, as well as having some preventative medicines around the house if you actually do happen to contract it.
Yeah. Well, the same thing that helps prevent COVID actually prevents injury from the vaccinated people and even prevents people, reduces the injury from the vaccinated themselves so they can take the same thing. It's all the same stuff. Quercetin or hydroxychloroquine, you know, vitamin D3, vitamin C, zinc. That's it. You know, and various things like that. All right, sir. Any other news of Santa Rosa Volunteers? Anything else we should know? And then it's been a great hour.
Yes, thank you very much. That's what we've been working on the last week.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm behind on my Santa Rosa Volunteer for this week. I'll get Federalist Paper 4 done today and get that out in the broadcast. But I figured this was more important and give you something to work on for Thursday. Let me know if you want to call in Friday morning first thing, just to sort of tell me how it goes. You know, or any reports you have, you know, either send me the information or just call the show for a few minutes Friday. First thing, I got an opening right at the beginning. Yeah, we do. Okay. So you can do that as well. I want to know the reaction. Yeah. I want to know their faces. Is this videotaped at all? Or is this just a working meeting that's just kind of...
This is just a working meeting. They're normal because it's during the day. So I don't expect there to be a whole lot of robust discussion. But my plan is to at least get it on the next agenda. That's what I'm hoping for tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. All right, sir, thank you very much. Let's do it again next week or Friday if you want to call in.
Thank you, Greg.
All right. Take care. That's David Jones, co-founder of Santa Rosa Volunteers. You can get their website, srv1776.com, srv1776.com. I'm going to play a couple things, get to, back to Gene. Anybody else wants to call in? This is kind of our election correction hour, vaccine, you know, not ready for Facebook report hour. But because I've been, my time has been so taken up writing this legislation, because it needed to be done right now, that I haven't prepared as much on that. But I do have some things for you. So it's just going to be open. We got an open hour to discuss things. Gene, feel free to bring up anything you want, and I'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. Oh, I forgot. This one has a lag to it. Here at Action Radio, we are looking for sponsors. We have 30 and 60-second spots available for your announcements, and we have 3-minute live call-ins to talk about your products and services available. Action Radio is the next evolution beyond talk radio. Join us and let us help your business evolve. Think about being a sponsor of the future and not just a listener, and help us help your business grow as you help us plunge headlong into breaking new ground here on Action Radio every day. This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio, using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system. To call any show on the Action Radio Network from anywhere in the United States, the number is 215-383-3832. To call any show from outside the United States using Skype, call 011, then 1-215-383-3832. We have many groups within Action Radio which will become laboratories for citizen legislation and serve as a place you can go for more specialized information. From the main Facebook page, Action Radio with Greg Penglis, at facebook.com/radiolegislature, you can check out our Action Radio News Group, our Vaccine Project, the Family Law Project, the Art Project, the Writers Page, the Video Page, our new Student Advocacy Group, and many more groups that are coming soon. Remember, at Action Radio, we don't report the news, we are the news.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
All right, we are back, and Gene's back live, and yeah, I forgot that you can play with your own line. I'm just so used to muting people, you know, when I start our announcements and things like that, but don't mind me, just make yourself live again. Not a problem. Gene, are you enjoying your producing so far? It's interesting.
I am, at least. Now I can communicate with people mm-hmm. through my computer, so that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So whenever you want to, play with the live chat. It's if you look in the center of your screen, right above where the show title is, you'll have episode info and then this thing that says chat. That's the live chat. So whenever you feel like it, play with that. And once you think it's ready to go, then people can actually type in messages and things, and you can do that between phone calls, then feel free. And you'll run the live chat, and you'll tell me when something's there because I won't have time to do it. I'll be doing the show. But that would be – you see where that button is?
Yes.
Okay, so whenever you feel like it, feel free. Okay, so far, what do you think of just the fact that we actually write legislation on the air that's going from, you know, an idea last week to, you know, discussion for about half an hour to me, you know, sitting at my computer last night going, let's see what this actually looks like, you know, to discussing it this morning, to making the changes, to going over that, to the fact that tomorrow morning it's going to be presented to our Board of County Supervisors at Santa Rosa County, Florida. And from there, who knows, it might become model legislation for the whole country. To me, that's unbelievably exciting that we can do all that in such a short time. What do you think?
Exactly. But what it also shows, too, is you just not all talk. There's also action. And that's what's the really neat thing is we're you're taking action. We're making things happen versus just talking about making things happen.
Yeah. Well, let me put your life coach hat on for a minute here and see if you can help me out and help me understand what's going on. I see people all over Facebook. They're posting memes. You know, it's like they're accomplishing something. They're, you know, the Republicans and the conservatives, they don't come up with ideas. They don't talk about new ideas. They just complain. When they get in power, they have nothing to go on because they just complain. So what is the psychology that either people don't know how to do things, they don't realize they're just complaining, they're just sort of, it's easier, they don't want to get involved. Why would people, especially, you know, conservatives, independents, patriots, libertarians, you know, folks like me, constitutional independents, why is it that so many people on this side of the political aisle don't want to get involved? They'd rather just post memes and things when it's so easy to get involved by what we've just shown how easy it is to do what we're doing, you know, over the course of a week. We've got a bill ready for our county commission to completely change how they handle illegal aliens. What's holding people back, do you think?
I think there's a lot of reasons you just can't say one thing. Sometimes okay. It's just where they're at. They may feel like they can't make a difference or what they okay. can do is not important. Or what they have to say isn't important, or it could be the fact that fear of just can be many different things. Fear of not being able to do what they want, meaning they have this passion about, okay, well, like your bill there, and they may mm-hmm. say, we need to do it. You talk about, oh, we need to have something like that, but then they never go do it because why? They're afraid that if they present it and it's not accepted, well, then they didn't do, you know, something right or whatever. And it's like, no, that's not it at all. It, you know, okay. So it could be that. It could be just the energy they're in right now, meaning not the vibration, how we talk about being in a high vibration or a low vibration. And where your thoughts are, that's where your actions are. And so when you think, I can't do that, or this is all going on, and I always think about negative, 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 that right. keeps us more not empowered, and so it's harder to get the oomph to do something. And also another thing is, if you haven't done something before, it's and you're used to a routine, it's hard to switch to do something else. And so, yeah, there could be many different things. And it may be the thing too, I have no time. Well, everybody has the same amount of time in a day. And how mm-hmm. much time do we waste doing certain things, okay? And what I mean by that is, okay, how much time do we waste on our cell phones, like on Facebook even, doing stuff that is, like, and I'm falling in that category too, mindless, especially sometimes mm-hmm. I just don't want to think or deal with anything else. I just want mindless, you know, minutes of time just to chill, whatever. But the thing is, all you have to do when people that are on the fence or they have not started to become involved with something, today, start with 5 minutes. What can you do for 5 minutes? And then tomorrow, what can you do for 8 minutes? And just keep building it up. And you'll be amazed that before long, you may be doing something for a half hour. You don't have to do something 6 hours a day or 2 hours a day or even 1 hour a day to make a difference.
Or 14 hours a day.
Right, exactly, exactly.
60 hours a day, whatever I, you know, whatever I can
spare. But the thing is, once you start doing something, it'll may lead to something else, but you'll be amazed at how much you can get done in just a short period of time.
Hmm.
And also, I suggest people to try to align themselves with like-minded people, meaning people that they don't have to think the same way you do, but are kind of reaching out or going towards the same thing. And the reason for that is if you want to do something and you align yourself with people that are totally against it, it's never going to get anywhere. Why? Because they're not going to be there to be your cheerleader. They're not going to encourage you. They're not going to be enthusiastic to find out what you're doing. They're going to be the ones that are going to be the negative Nellies. And if you're already thinking more towards the negative, and what I mean by that is, during the day, just pay attention to what you're thinking. And if you're thinking all the doom and gloom stories, we need to change that switch. And even if you think, let's just say Afghanistan. If you're just thinking about everything negative that's going on there, then just take a couple seconds and appreciate where you're at, that we live in a country that's free. Because truly it is. I mean, with the vaccine mandates and everything else that's coming down the pike or anticipated, don't look at that. Just look at what is. Or look outside. Is there a plant, a flower? Is there something blooming that you can say, wow, look at the beauty around you? Or if you can't do any of those or that doesn't help you, take your shoes off and just go stand outside in the grass and walk around and feel connected to Mother Earth. And sometimes just feeling connected to the earth makes us just change our viewpoint. And not even that, just being outside in nature can make a big difference.
Yeah, I saw that in Barefoot in the Park, that movie.
I know
exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. That's fascinating. There's certainly a lot there, and I guess there are many reasons. I think the one that stood out to me was you talk about failure, you know, and failure never occurs to me. To me, there are setbacks and there are, you know, steps forward, there are steps back, there are steps sideways, there are all kinds of things, but I never think of it as failure. Failure to me would be stopping trying, would be giving up on Action Radio. That to me would be a failure. But if this bill doesn't go through, that doesn't mean anything. We just change the form of it. We, rewrite it. We come back next year or next month with a different one. Or we, if they say, well, we can't do this as is, you know, we need some amendments. So I say, well, what do you want us to amend? You know, what are you looking for? And if we can do it, we do. But this is such a fluid process. And the same thing, you know, I want to encourage everybody else. If you're trying, there really aren't any failures. There are just, you know, things that happen and stuff along the way. And, you know, and it's like if you're – my philosophy of the river versus the rock is from an old Bruce Lee movie, right? So if you're the river, you flow, you bend, you go around the rocks. The rocks are rigid and the rocks stay in place, but the rocks wear down, eventually are broken up. The river always wins. You know, because the river keeps flowing, the river can change direction, and the river can dry up and reflood and can go in, can completely reverse itself sometimes. You know, weird things happen to rivers, but they're always flowing. And if you think of your life as flowing, and if you think of your thoughts as flowing and your accomplishments as flowing, you're never really done. You never really start. You never really end. It's just kind of a continuum. And so with legislation like this, this is all part of making us, you know, a more free country and a better, better life for all of us. And this is just one way to do it, is to keep people that shouldn't be here out. Very simple, very straightforward. Huh, that's how I see it.
Right.
Okay.
But I would also say about failure, I think in this country, we look at things as either succeeding or failing. But failing, I wish they'd almost get that terminology out of the dictionary for the fact that, like you said, if you just try, you didn't fail. You learn from something. And sometimes the things that don't go according to how we want in the long run are our biggest blessings, because it does get us to where we're supposed to be. Or it makes us fight harder or try harder. Sometimes it's just the thing is, oh, well, I could have did it different, or I should have did a little, you know, tried harder, do it again, you succeed.
Yep.
Or you may try and you may think afterwards, you're like, you know, I really don't want to do this anyway anymore. And sometimes it's just to make us look at life, look at things, just be grateful for the experience, for the, it may be just the person you were supposed to meet. You were supposed to meet one certain person there or help with one situation. And yeah, it maybe didn't go according to how you wanted, but how you reacted, that taught other people how they need to respond during times of, you know, when things don't go according to how they want, because in life, not everything goes the way each of us want it to go. And that's
no kidding.
You know,
how about that?
And I think the, I think too, though, with our, the kids coming up now and everybody getting a certificate just for trying, I think that is such a sad thing, because that it's teaching kids that they need to have some type of gratification. Otherwise, whatever they do is not worth anything. And when you get a job, you get in the workforce, how many people actually their boss comes up to them and says, oh, great job, every time they do something good. It's usually when you do something that they don't like or some, you know, someone gets upset. That's when you hear about it. And even when someone gets upset about you, what does that mean? It's like that's their interpretation. Learn what they say or listen to what they say and then don't internalize it. Just think, well, is that true? Or sometimes people say, well, you're yelling at me. Are you really yelling at the person? Or is that just something in them that's being triggered and they accuse you of that, but it's nothing even close to the truth? And so, yeah, just listen to what is said and then take it for what it is and move on. And
yeah,
don't look back. You know, as I said, some people, when something negative happens, they can't get past that. And that's not a good thing either. You need to move forward. Just keep moving forward.
Okay. Speaking of moving forward, we're going to move forward now in the show here. Let's go to the newsroom and see what kind of articles I have. And hot off the presses. More buttons, more fun. All right. I've got a one of the stories here. This is definitely in our Not Ready for Facts for Facebook vaccine report, because I got a story here from Natural News. And if you ever try to post anything from Natural News, you'll find immediately that Facebook says, if you post this, you know, you can post it, but we're going to violate you. So don't post it. And so this is how they keep Natural News out, because they've decided that Mike Adams is just somebody they don't want to hear from. And when I give you the headline, vaxxed to death, alarming study confirms vaxxers will face catastrophic antibody dependent enhancement injuries and deaths. That's not something Facebook's going to put on there, because they're heavily invested in pharmaceuticals anyway. So that's what's going on there. So let me get through this, Gene, or jump in any time, you know, and I'll probably stop, you know, and make comments as I go. But this is one of the more disturbing and one of the more dramatic and one of the articles that people really need to think about, you know, in terms of this whole vaccine and how they're mandating people get this for a virus that's 99.5% on average. You know, you get over it with, you know, minimal stuff, and certainly you don't need treatment. That's not a dangerous thing. I mean, the flu is more dangerous than this thing. But and yet they're pushing the vaccines. Anyway, Natural News says, this quote here, August 14th, Mike Adams, so he's the one that runs Natural News. He says, for over a year, intensive research conducted by health experts like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I've seen her video, she's amazing. Anyway, has brought to light increasing concerns about what they call antibody-dependent enhancement, or ADE. A phenomenon where vaccines make the disease far worse by priming the immune system for a potentially deadly overreaction. Okay, and this is, I've been looking for something that really spells out why vaccines are so dangerous and how they actually make your personal health so much worse, and this is it. This is the clearest thing I've ever found. Antibody-dependent enhancement. So antibodies are what your body produces, you know, to basically neutralize a virus or something invading. You know, but the problem is enhancement. If you get antibodies enhanced, then they might overproduce. You know, they talk about the cytokine storm. As I understand it, that's your immune system going nuts, and you're actually killed by your own immune system as a reaction to a virus. So it's not the virus that kills you; it's your immune system overreacting, and that's how people end up in ventilators and dead and things like that from COVID. But it's not COVID; it's your body's overreaction to COVID. Okay, so if you can stop the body's overreaction, you know, you can pretty much, the body will take care of COVID. The normal T cells and things like that will, you know, it will kill the virus and away you go. That's what happens to most people. But if your immune system goes wild, you know, anybody with an autoimmune, you know, disease or deficiency or anything like that knows exactly what I'm talking about. Actually, Gene, let me go to you on this. autoimmune, self-immune. So your immune system, what are some of the problems people experience that where their immune system goes wild, like lupus, something like that? Isn't that something that people can actually be killed by their own immune system?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do you have any details on that? Are you familiar with that kind of stuff at all? Autoimmune?
Not a whole lot, no.
Okay. All right. Well, let me continue with the article then. Antibody-dependent enhancement. So I want you to, so here are the terms. So the interesting thing about this whole COVID thing is I'm learning all these new words, you know, hydroxychloroquine. Well, chloroquine was the first word I learned, then hydroxychloroquine. And then I learned about, you know, viruses, and I learned about a few months ago, gain of function, where you take a relatively benign or, you know, somewhat, you know, moderately affecting virus in nature, and you make it really deadly. Why anybody would want to do that is beyond me. But that's what they did. Anyway, so back to this. So they call it a hyperinflammatory response. So inflammation, you know, it's like with sugar and carbs and things like that. It's not the sugar and carbs is the problem. It's the inflammation. You know, in other words, your organs get inflamed, your blood vessels get inflamed. So it's not cholesterol that's killing you. It's the inflammation. And so inflammation is a bad thing. So let me just start over, kind of get y'all caught up here. Concerns about antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE, a phenomenon where vaccines make the disease far worse by priming the immune system for a potentially deadly overreaction, also called a hyperinflammatory response to subsequent infections. ADE is well known to occur with coronavirus vaccines that have been tested in animal experiments. The big question has been whether it will emerge in the 2.4 billion, that's with a B, billion people who have now been vaccinated around the world. According to Our World in Data, .org, that's ourworldindata.org, 31.7% of the world's population has been vaccinated with one or more COVID vaccines. That's about 2.4 billion people. In the United States, according to the CDC Incorporated, that's me, 199 million people have been vaccinated with at least one dose. Here's something interesting too, Gene. Have you noticed that people have been vaccinated, most people have one dose, fewer have two, and I think even fewer still are going to get three or boosters. Have you noticed that there's always a diminishing return on this, that people get the first one and a certain percentage says, oh, that's it, I'm done. I'm not getting this anymore. This doesn't feel good. Is that normal with vaccines, or is that particular to COVID?
I can't speak for the other things. I'm looking at I'm thinking the other one is the flu vaccine. And because of what I do, most places in the healthcare anyway, you have to have a flu vaccine every year. If it wouldn't be mandated, there's no way I'd get a flu vaccine. But with the COVID, I think what we're running up against now is many different things. The one thing is, okay, they said you have to get Pfizer and Moderna, you need to get the two shots. And then they're finding out that, well, maybe those shots are only about 40% effective. And so then, okay, you need a booster. And people are getting tired of being told things because they're realizing that they're being given a line, that nobody knows what is going on because the story keeps changing. And so I think it's frustrating for some people because they're starting to really not trust the government, which they did before. Other people, especially for me, don't make me get the vaccine, number one, when you have all these illegal people coming over the border. And people that got the Moderna or the Pfizer are telling me that right now, or not today, but they've told me that in the past, that because of all these illegals coming over the border and they're being able to go anywhere, they don't need to have a vaccine. They don't need to wear a mask. They don't need to do anything that I'm not going to, or they were telling me they're not going to get another shot. And I can't fault them for that either, because the thing is, if it is such a crisis in this country and everybody needs the shot, then why is the southern border opened? But definitely, I think a lot of it has to do with what's going on now is mistrust for the government. Big thing. Or not even the government, but the people making the decisions, what they're telling us. And I have to say it's really interesting because the left has such a strong propaganda machine. Yesterday, I was in a person's room, and they had The View on.
Mm-hmm.
And what a hateful bunch of women, that's all I can say. And they were all talking about people that don't get the vaccine, they're just selfish, they don't care about other people, all this stuff. And then they had Amy Klobuchar come on, and I thank God I wasn't in there for the rest of it, but she was talking about just the election stuff and, you know, more about the vaccines. And right there when they were all saying, you know, you need to get the vaccine, you need to do the right thing. And I'm just like, no, not when the border is open. If you were so concerned about the spread, you wouldn't be allowing 200,000 people a month coming across the border. And especially now when they're saying, you know, 60,000 people from Haiti and 40% of those may have COVID. How many other people are coming across with COVID? So don't go there. Don't go there at all. And also when, and I brought this up other times too, when Trump was in office, oh, we can't get the vaccine because we can't trust Trump. We can't trust Trump. Well, we can trust Biden and Kamala, and look what they're doing right now.
Same companies.
It's like there's a
same formula.
Two people I trust. And then Fauci.
They don't have a Trump vaccine and a Biden vaccine.
Exactly. But, yeah, you still have Fauci in charge, or supposedly the end-all, be-all, and show me his money and how much money he's getting paid from these vaccines, and then we'll talk again.
Yeah, Dr. Fascist, a genocidal, psychopathic vaccine drug pusher with over 1,000 patents, has, I'm sure, offshore accounts in the billions. Don't think for a second he hasn't accumulated a huge amount of money. Yeah,
exactly. And I was listening to someone last night, and I loved her message. It wasn't a message. She was just asking. She sent this to a doctor, and she just wrote, you know, verbalized it online, what she wrote. And basically, she was asking him all these questions, and she, you know, she is not in healthcare. So she just, like the rest of us, really would like to know. And it was talking about, okay, you have two groups of medical professionals. Those are, you need to get the vaccine, you need to get the vaccine. And those that are anti-vaccine. But yet, in social media and in majority of news programs, they're just pushing the vaccine. So she's asking, okay, how do you know, like as a person, how do you know which one is right, which one is wrong, when they won't even try the things that are the cheapest to help people? And that makes a lot of sense. Why do these certain doctors, they're wrong? But don't they all have medical degrees? And I know some doctors are better than others, but you can't tell me all these doctors that are against the vaccine are just inadequate. And
well, have you noticed
all those that,
that
are for the vaccine are the best doctors around? No. Yeah. So she had brought up so many good points.
Yeah.
But in this country, it's like, nope, if you're anti-vax, you are wrong. You don't care about the country. You don't care for others. You don't love yourself. And no, that may not be the truth at all. Maybe for some people it is, but, you know.
Well, when did we get to a point, you know, when did we get to a point when medical decisions were based on guilt? You know, you don't get an operation for somebody else's benefit. If your appendix, you know, needs coming out, you don't get it taken out to help your neighbor. You get it taken out to help you. You don't take a vaccine into, you know, the vaccine that goes into you affects you. It doesn't affect anybody else except for the shed spike proteins and any live virus that might be shedding some other things. But the point is, you take a vaccine to protect you and nobody else. You know, so the idea that you're taking a vaccine to protect other people is nonsense. It's ridiculous. It's silly. You know, what they're trying to say is that it's the herd immunity. It's the redefinition of herd immunity, that only through vaccines can we be protected and end this pandemic, which, of course, is nonsense. The pandemic was been over, if it ever began, a long time ago. And this is just an enormous guilt trip. But it's interesting that the people that are – the government doctors are always for it. They're always for a vaccine, unquestionably. They don't because that's where the money comes from. You know, the only people you'll find against it are people that either don't take money from the government in huge amounts, because those doctors are for it also, but the independent doctors, the ones that are the honest ones, the ones that look at the evidence. You know, you look at the people who are like the Dr. Peter McCulloughs and the Judy Mikovits and the Dr. Zelenkos and you know, Sherry Tenpenny, who was mentioned in this article earlier. None of these folks are government doctors. And even ones that are like, or not, he's not a government doctor, but Dr. Harvey Risch is the epidemiologist at Yale Public Health School. You say, wait a minute, you know, what happened to early treatment? You know, where's that? The things that are missing in this argument, you know, that people are never asking. Anybody that says, well, you have to take the vaccine, I said, what about early treatment? You know, what if you do get it? You know, then you just get treated for it because this is completely curable. Why should you risk being on a vaccine when this is so curable? And they don't have an answer for that because they don't want you to do that. This is a guilt trip. This is a national, you better do it, you know, because I did it and I'm virtuous. It's a measure of your virtue. It's a measure of your compliance. It's a measure of how much you can be guilted or have fear used against you. It's a measure of how much the propaganda is working. It's everything but a medical decision. And that's the problem I have. This vaccine has nothing to do with medicine and everything to do with marketing campaign and coercion and force and psychology and propaganda and everything else. That's what makes it so scary.
Well, and especially when you look at it being mandated. Why is it being mandated? Why do medical professionals have to get it now? When last year, and I get it, last year there was not a vaccine, but how many of them put their life in danger by working with COVID patients? And I don't want to say that like dramatic because, I mean, it is what it is.
No, there's a nurse that worked with COVID patients every day for years, you know, for since it started. She's never been vaccinated. She's got a good immune system. She's fine. There's something about COVID patients all the time because it's a virus. Like, I mean, doctors work with sick people all the time. If they didn't, they wouldn't be doctors. Doctors don't see healthy people all the time except for checkups. But for the most part, they see sick people, which means they're exposed to all these different things. But the biggest question is, why are medical people, of all people, refusing, you know, the vaccine? What do they know? I mean, so rather than ask the question, why are the medical people refusing it, they're trying to beat them into getting it. That makes no sense. Anyway, make a point, and then I want to get back to the article because we got more here. It gets more interesting as we go.
I would just tell people, do what you feel is right. Don't let anybody bully you. And you can always change your mind if you don't get the vaccine to get it. But if you get the vaccine and you change your mind, there's no going back.
Nope. No, all you can do is lessen what the inevitable. We don't know what that is. All right. Excuse me. So the article continues. Let me just quote this again for folks that have joined us. It's called Vax to Death. Alarming study confirms vaxxers will face catastrophic antibody-dependent enhancement injuries and deaths. And this is August 17th. So yesterday, Mike Adams, who is the editor at Natural News, and he continues on. He says, where's my 199 million Americans got this? Here we go. Notably, all the 2.4 billion people who took this vaccine around the world have, and he has in big block letters, or big bold letters here, have taken an unproven, deadly, experimental medical intervention. That's what this vaccine is. Okay, it's not a vaccine. It's an unproven, deadly, experimental medical intervention that was intentionally formulated to contain spike protein, biological weapons, or in the case of the messenger RNA vaccines, instructions for the body's own cell to manufacture those spike protein bioweapons. Thus, the depopulation globalists pushing this vaccine genocide have managed to inject about one-third of the world's human population with biological weapons that are well known to cause injury and death. How's that for a sentence or a paragraph?
Pretty powerful.
Yeah. Now, Mike Adams, I think he's one of those folks where there's a line between what is real and what is, you know, I think perceived, you know, sort of, you know, it's like when some of the folks call the show and say that, well, the military tribunals are going to take over and Trump's going to be back at a certain time. And, you know, it's like it goes to the point where I don't think it's real. Or when people say that the vaccines, you know, have nano computers that will control your brain, George Soros will tell you what to do. I don't believe any of that. Okay, I do believe that the vaccines have graphene oxide and ferrous iron particles, which are magnetic, because I've read the studies. Okay, so there's the difference. So where it gets interesting is the idea of a bioweapon. Now, you listen to Claire Lopez on Thursdays, you know, our intelligence and foreign policy expert will say that this is, you know, that the Chinese army created this as a bioweapon. Okay. In fact, she even says the Chinese, being the racist that they are trying to find a way to make it selective by race, so they can wipe out the races they don't want. I mean, this is how bad this gets. Now, if coming from her, because she studies this, you know, that makes sense, that China, being as racist as they are, would do that. If they could get rid of the Uyghurs and, you know, other folks that they don't want around the world, they would certainly do that, okay? I think Bill Gates would be quite happy, you know, being Margaret Sanger and getting rid of black people. That's why he has all his vaccines in Africa. You know, he's a complete racist, I think, as well. But the question is, how much of a bioweapon is it? You know, I think here, the Dr. Fascists of the world see this as money. You know, the Democrats see this as power. That's why they lock down the states, do the mask mandates and everything else. So the question is, and why was it done in Wuhan, China? Access does the army have to this? And that's the bioweapon part, okay? So How much is for power? How much is for money? How much is for military? It's an interesting question. So I don't know where that line is, but I'm not fully on board at all that the idea that this was done, you know, to depopulate half the world. That doesn't make sense, because where would the corporations sell their products? You know, you can't rule over people that don't exist. Where would the Chinese have their new markets? You know, it doesn't make sense that they'd wipe out that many people, you know, because they would be destroyed themselves. It would also end up wiping out half their own countries. You know, you can't control this kind of stuff once it gets out there. So that doesn't make sense. Now, does it make sense that it could be a selective bioweapon to mess up our economy? Absolutely. I think that's the real purpose of this. It's not a bioweapon for the destruction of life. It's a bioweapon for the destruction of economies, because our economy was destroyed over this. And so were economies around the world, except, of course, for Sweden, who was smart enough not to lock down. But that's where I see the real danger, the economic. That's why this was done by – remember the Event 201 was done by the World Economic Forum? It wasn't done by a medical organization. It wasn't done by the WHO, the World Health Organization. The rehearsal for the plandemic, I use that word intentionally, was done by the World Economic Forum. This is an economic virus to either make money or destroy economies. It's not, you know, yes, it's a biological thing, but it was created to destroy and make economies and certain people rich and certain people poor, certain nations rich and certain nations poor. You know, that's why this bioweapon is here. I mean, we don't think of bioweapons in terms of economic. We always think of bioweapons in terms of biological weapons. Make sense?
Yeah, but I want to go back to a different point when you were talking
sure.
about wiping people out, you know, like certain races, whatever. But
uh-huh.
Bill Gates, it's known for everything he's wanted is to do population control and get rid of some of the world population. So it wouldn't put it past me at all if he has something to do with everything that's going on as well.
Yeah, I'm still investigating, because I've seen two schools of thought of this, and I really try to be accurate. There are those that have said, Bill Gates has said he wants to cut the world population in half. Not convinced of that. That would be genocidal and stupid and irrational. I'm not saying he couldn't think that way, but I'm not convinced yet. I've also heard, and I've seen him say this, that he wants to cut he wants to cut the birth rate. And the reason he wants to cut the birth rate is so that parents, you know, in Africa can have, you know, two healthy kids and not have to have eight kids and have six of them die so they can have two healthy kids. That's what he's saying. By vaccinations, we have better, you know, health care for kids, you know, so that the parents don't have to have so many kids so they can concentrate on their careers and other things, you know, very Western values. I'm not sure what the truth is. You know, you get two possibilities there. He wants to, you know, reduce family size so parents can invest in the two healthy kids they have, or he actually wants to cut the world population. And I don't know the truth on that. You know, those are two viable options for what he's doing. The problem is his vaccines don't work. they're you know, especially in India, they killed a lot of people and they hurt a lot of people.
Right, they did. And a lot of people don't trust him now because of what he did in the other countries.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he may have the goal of allowing parents to reduce the amount of kids they have so they can concentrate on two healthy ones. But the result is entirely different, that it's caused more problems than it's solved. Like I say, we don't have all the answers here, but at least we don't want to ask all the questions. All right. So the article says, yet the question remains just how many of these people will die from vaccine adverse events, including ADE, which is antibody-dependent enhancement. So it says a new science paper published in the Journal of Infection appears to provide solid evidence that the vaccines being administered around the world will, without question, cause ADE effects in people when they are exposed to the Delta variant or potentially other coronavirus strains. The study is entitled Infection-Enhancing Anti-SARS-CoV-2 Antibodies Recognize Both the Original Wuhan D614G Strain and Delta Variants, a Potential Risk for Mass Vaccination. So in other words, the people who are most vulnerable to the Delta variant are the people who are creating it, the vaccinated, you know, because the Delta variant gets around the vaccine. So the vaccine is for the original COVID strain. The virus goes, huh, I can get around this, creates the Delta variant, which actually started in India, according to Dr. Peter McCullough. And India were the first to get this Chinese virus, this Chinese vaccine, which didn't work because it's Chinese vaccine. They don't care, right? So they sold it to India, and India found that it didn't work. And that's where the Delta variant came from, India, because that was the first place they widely used a particular vaccine that didn't work, that the virus could get around the easiest. And from there, of course, it went everywhere that vaccinations were given. So that's how it ended up here. And so the vaccinated are much more susceptible to the Delta variant, which is much stronger in them. That's why vaccinated people are dying of this. And people that are not vaccinated using natural immunity are doing fine, even though some vulnerable people will still die of the Delta variant, even though it's much less powerful than the original COVID strain. Huh.
Right.
Moving on here. Within written from the point of view of conventional virology and epidemiology, something that Dr. Fascist is not a doctor of, it explains that while the current, it explains that while the current vaccines based on the original Wuhan D615G strains, first time I've seen that before, right, do provide some level of immunity against the original COVID virus, they present an unfortunate side effect. The acceleration of infection-enhancing antibodies, which overreact to Delta variant infections. What the paper is describing is classic ADE. That's, again, antibody-dependent enhancement, meaning a hyper-inflammatory reaction can kill the person as their primed immune system overreacts to new infections. Let me see if I can translate that in English. All right. You get the vaccine. The vaccine's for the original strain, which is no longer with us. The vaccine will boost immunity for that strain only and suppress, you know, your ability to react to other vaccines. Your body gets a Delta variant because the virus has created that. So your body then creates a hyperinflammatory response, as they say. Your body goes wild and overreacts. Your immune system goes nuts to this new infection, whereas an unvaccinated person's immune system would behave normally. But it goes nuts, and actually you're in danger from your own immune system overreacting to something that was caused by the vaccine you got to stop all the viruses when it's only good for the original one, which no longer exists. So you're actually killing yourself with your cure.
Yes.
I think the last sentence really says it. You know, you're killing and injuring yourself with your intended cure, knowing that that cure is actually what's going to kill or injure you. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes total sense.
See, that's what they found in the animal trials. This is the reason this was this wasn't done initially with SARS-CoV-1, is that they tested the animals, they vaccinated these animals, and the animals did fine in a controlled situation. You know, the vaccine worked, it stopped the original virus, it was no problem. As soon as the animals got in the wild and were subjected to other variations of the virus, they all died. That's why they didn't do animal trials here. Because
yes,
Dr. Fascist
exactly.
Didn't want to have a bunch of dead animals, you know, for people to point to and go, see, your vaccine just killed all those animals. As soon as they went out, the front door, you know, that's what's killing people, is that they're getting the vaccine, which works fine for the one strain, but it doesn't work on the other ones. It's not adaptable as your immune system is.
Right. And also the reason why they didn't continue with it is because why would you want that publicly known?
Yeah.
Because then no one would take the vaccine.
And they wouldn't make their profits. They wouldn't make $1 million.
But
think about that. Well, all right, so sociopathically, let's get onto the sociopathic and psychopathic scale. What kind of a person would knowingly promote something they know is going to be dangerous solely to make billions of dollars? What do you think? How sick is a person to do that? Or a group of people? Or a government?
Well,
or a corporation?
I have two different thoughts. I would think they'd have to be very sick, you know, and very corrupt. Or my other thought is they're just really wanting the money. And in Fauci's case, I can't see where it would be the money, because he's already made so much money off everything to do with, you know, I'm talking medications, drugs, whatever. So it's very
power?
Sad.
Power
exactly.
Is
I think
currency?
It's power.
Okay.
Power and just evilness, because how can you rightfully tout day after day, you need to go get the vaccine, you need to go get the vaccine, yet you know what it's doing to people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not what it's doing to people now, but the potential for what it could do to people. I mean, we're talking that one or two people. Look how many people got the vaccine. I mean, that's just awful. And also, if you look at how many people got the vaccine and died, and no one is talking about that. More people are dying from getting the vaccine than they're dying now of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the emergency rooms are full of I don't think the emergency rooms are full of COVID victims. Well, you know, you're in hospitals. Do you see just regular old COVID victims, or do you see a vaccine, or can you tell? Because the CDC told hospitals not to report people that are vaccinated if they get injured or die from COVID. That's what I heard.
Right. I'm not in a hospital. I'm in a nursing home right now. So I don't have privy to what's going on in the hospitals. But, yes, what I've been told is a lot of places are told not to even ask if someone had the vaccine. Those are not to be recorded. And how sad is that? So you're already skewing the information, number one. And number two, it's like if they did have the vaccine, I would think you'd have to treat it a little bit different because of all of what the vaccine, what that did to your body.
Yeah.
But it's very sad. And why? And that's why I'm curious to know if this person I listened to last night, if she ever gets answers. But it's like, why? Why aren't they trying all these other things that are, one, cheaper? And not that you want to go with the cheapest alternative, but it's cheap. If it doesn't work, it only costs a dollar. Well, in hospital terms, then it would probably be $15. But it's like cheap compared to $3,000 a pop. And so why? Why don't they? And why aren't they making people or allowing people to be aware? And you could say, well, the information's out there. Yes, it's out there, but you really do have to dig to find stuff, because if you just put it in regular Google, you're not going to come up with something as likely as if you put it in DuckDuckGo. And how many people are aware of DuckDuckGo? And as a search engine, it should not matter what search engine you put it in, but it does.
Yeah, but I also have to go directly to the sources. Natural News, Children's Health Defense, Vaccine Impact. You know, these are the sources. These are the good sources, none of which I could post on Facebook.
Well,
because they don't want you to know. Yeah. I got a little bit more of the article, but yeah, go ahead.
How many people know of those sources, and how do you become aware of them? Because
listen to our show. Share our show.
Exactly.
Do the best we can. Well, no, actually, these places have, you know, mailing lists in upwards of a million people. Some of them,
but
you know, so
but if you consider a million people and you consider how many people are out there, I've never heard of a lot of them. And I'm more alternative based with anything I do as far as healthcare goes. So you think I adhere to some of them, but I know some of the people that I haven't been following any of them real close lately, but some of them that I had followed in the past, they've had to remove all their COVID stuff because of the government. So how sad is that? The stuff they had put on their website, now it has to be all archived at this time.
Yeah, so I got a bunch of stuff on my computer.
That's criminal because then people can't make an informed decision because they're not getting all the information. And the thing is, someone may look at all the research and they may still get the vaccine, and that's fine if they do it because they feel that's best for them. But they shouldn't do it because they are feeling like they're coerced, or that they're made to feel like they're a scum because they don't get it. No, then that's a bad reason to get the vaccine. But if you do it because you feel that's the best decision you can make at this time, go for it. But people do have to do their own research, do their own due diligence, what is best for them and their family. I'm not going to tell them to go either way because I just know what's right for me. And don't think that just because you didn't get the vaccine, you're being selfish. That is so not true. And the reason I say that, look at the people that got the vaccine, and you can't blame it 100%, but ironic that then all of a sudden people around them have miscarriages and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to question what's going on there.
Yeah, and is it selfish to do your own research and make your own determination that this is not in your interest or anybody else's interest? That's selfish. That's just, you know, basic, you know, human values. All right, let me get through this because we got a bit to go. We got about 12 minutes left. So I want to back up just a bit and say that, you know, how this works here. This is written from the point of view of conventional virology and epidemiology. This is the paper that came out on this. It explains that while the current vaccines based on the original Wuhan D615G strain do provide some level of immunity against the original COVID virus, they present an unfortunate side effect, the acceleration of infection-enhancing antibodies, which overreact to Delta variant infections. You got that? Acceleration of infection-enhancing antibodies, overreacting to Delta variant. So the vaccine, as we said before, is the original vaccine is based on the original COVID virus, and you get some protection against that. But what they're saying is it makes it worse with the Delta variant. So if you're getting a vaccine, you know, you're getting the wrong vaccine. because they haven't adapted it to the new one. And the article gets into that in just a little bit. We're looking at the acceleration of infection-enhancing antibodies, which overreact to Delta variant infections. What the paper is describing is classic ADE, meaning a hyperinflammatory reaction can kill the person as their primed immune system overreacts to infections. Article goes on. The study concludes ADE of Delta variants is a potential risk for current vaccines, and it goes on to explain the mechanism by which this ADE is emerging. That's antibody-dependent enhancement, one of our new terms we all have to learn. Using molecular modeling approaches, we show that enhancing antibodies have a higher affinity for Delta variants than for the Wuhan D614G NTDs, in other words, the original virus. We show that enhancing antibodies reinforce the binding of the spike trimmer to the host cell membrane by clamping the NTD to lipid raft microdomains. I have no idea what this is, but it sounds really fascinating. Facilitating antibodies display strikingly increased affinity. Thus, this part makes more sense. Thus, ADE may be a concern for people receiving vaccines based on the original Wuhan strain spike sequence, either mRNA or viral vectors. So in other words, well, let me just read on. The paper goes on to suggest that the original vaccines should be essentially scrapped and replaced with new, quote, second-generation vaccines that are engineered to attack the antigen targets of the Delta variant. So this is a question for you. If we have a Delta variant, why don't we have Delta variant vaccines? Gene?
The thing is, though, with the vaccines themselves, it's supposed to take 10 years of trial stuff. And Trump was the one that pushed this, you know, this the first vaccine. It's like, right. Who is there now to push the second one? Or this other one, the reason I say that, Biden's not competent enough. Harris isn't competent enough. Fauci's already making money off the one he's got. So why is he, you know, they're just going to come up with a booster, another booster, and another booster because why? People aren't going to be aware, you know, so they're going to listen to what he says.
Yep. And it costs money to change formulas. You know, and they don't want to spend the money.
Exactly, yeah.
They've got the guilt and fear to sell the original. It's like Henry Ford with the Model T. He sold Model Ts years past it was popular because he said, it's good enough. It's the Ford Model T. It's the best car in America. Well, it was when it came out, you know, but 3 years later, there were other cars that were pretty good too. And so, you know, that's where competition comes in. But there is no competition here. So I'm not sure how they've distributed the market for these pharmaceuticals, but this is definitely a rigged market. And the idea that a Delta variant, you know, doesn't have a Delta variant vaccine is insane. But there you get to the other problem is, are you going to make a vaccine for every variant? Because every vaccine causes the next variant. So if you have a Delta variant vaccine, you're going to get the Lambda virus. If you have the Lambda virus vaccine, you're going to get the Kappa. You know, this is going to go through the Greek alphabet. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, zeta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, psi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, pi, chi, psi, omega. There we go. I can still do it. Anyway. But yeah, so that's a problem too. And it says, of course, you know, and then this article says just what I was stating. It's interesting. It says, of course, by the time that is accomplished, in other words, a Delta variant vaccine, a new variant will be circulating and threatening the very same people, given that vaccinating people during a period of widespread virus circulation is effectively providing viral evolutionary pressures that cause new vaccine-resistant strains to be produced in the bodies of those who are vaccinated. And this is Dr. Bosch, has repeatedly warned, no matter how many vaccines are administered to the world's population, the virus will always mutate to a new form, rendering those vaccines obsolete. Wow. Let me continue on here. Only natural immunity, broad spectrum generalized immunity, can halt the cycle and stop the pandemic. Vaccines can never stop COVID mutations, infections, or transmission for the simple reason that vaccines can never see the future. Even the CDC admits they do not prevent infection or transmission either. So this to me seems, I've always thought of COVID as a marketing scheme. It's a business, you know, CDC Incorporated. They scared the people. They created the vaccines, and they wanted to create the market for the vaccine. So they created the virus. They created the original virus, scared the hell out of people, locked down, masked, you know, made sure the people took vaccines. But by the time they got the vaccines, the original virus is already gone. So they gave vaccines for a virus that didn't exist, promoting the creation of the next virus through evolutionary pressure this article talks about. And then, and even if they come up with a new vaccine for the new variation, that's going to cause evolutionary pressure to create the next variation. So they never catch up. It's like the flu shot every year. The flu shots for what they think the flu is going to be, but they never actually catch up. So what this vaccine is doing is actually perpetuating the disease, which is why it's the perfect marketing scheme. So if you look at this in terms of market, what better way to market than to have your product create the next market? Gene.
Oh, so very true. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, and I don't, I want to kind of veer off topic with this. Why are they mandating the masks for children again? I think that is so insane when there's research out there that says masks do no good. And in fact, some research says masks are actually more harmful than good. Why are they making kids wear masks again?
Yeah. Go to the town hall article, which was where parents took the masks of their kids and actually hadn't tested them in the lab. And the results are shocking how much crap was in there of pneumonia, of staph, of germs and bacteria, as well as viruses, were all over those masks. Yeah. So that's the thing. So my requirement, I'm just going to finish the article and then we can talk about masks, which is a good thing to do because that's a social control thing too. You know, that's a status thing. That's a guilt thing. That's a way to isolate people, shut them up and, you know, require conformity. It's like, you know, Jews had to wear a Star of David, you know, for the same reason. You isolate people into mask wearers and free face, you know. Anyway, but the point of this with kids, I don't know, because kids are the least vulnerable to this. So it's just a very strange thing. Anyway, the last part of this thing, and we've got about 4 minutes left. It says, even if vaccines could stop right now, 1 billion people could die around the world in the next 36 months as vaccines take their toll. This I'm not sure about, but I want to give the information anyway. It says, what's crucial to understand is that even if the deadly COVID vaccines are halted right now, with 2.4 billion people already injected, it is well within the realm of possibility that 1 billion or more people could die from antibody-dependent enhancement spike protein vascular damage. Mad cow disease, he's calling it, from spike protein attacks on neurology or other devastating effects caused by the COVID vaccines. In the United States alone, a 20% death rate among the vaccinated would spell about 40 million deaths, with most of the occurring in blue cities and states where left-leaning sheeple demonstrate high obedience to false authorities while volunteering their bodies for deadly medical experiments in the name of science. You may not have realized that virtually the entire Democrat Party in the U.S. has essentially volunteered to be post-vaccine organ donors, yet at the same time their organs will be colonized with spike protein nanoparticles, so no one will want their organs anyway. I've talked about that too. Should we have separate blood transfusions? Do you want blood from a vaccinated person with spike proteins in it? I don't.
That brings up a whole new interesting thing. I didn't even think about that. Wow. Mm.
Yeah, I talked to Judy McEvitz about that. So if you want to go back to our show, she says, yeah. You know, so the best thing is to do what the Jehovah's Witnesses do, which is you donate your own blood ahead of time in anticipation of surgery if you can. But they need to segregate the blood supply into vaccinated and non-vaccinated blood. I want non-vaccinated blood. I don't want the spike proteins. Why would I ingest? That's the same as getting a flu shot. I mean, a COVID shot. What's the difference? If it's in your bloodstream, it's in your bloodstream.
Right.
You know? So all these things to think about. Okay, let's go back to masks for a bit because we know they don't work. Everybody knows who studies it knows they don't work. Anybody who can read the box can see that there's nothing there for viruses. I mean, most of those little blue masks out of China. And why would you trust a mask from the same people that created the virus in the Wuhan lab? Don't you think they have an interest in increasing the business too and destroying our economy and ruining our population with these ridiculous objects?
Right.
What do you think?
No, true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We got about 2 minutes left. I think we pretty much summed it up. I'm surprised, you know, we didn't get more callers. We usually have our regular panelists. Tomorrow is going to be a very interesting show. We're going to have Jeff Metcalf joining us. He's going to be Claire Lopez is flying somewhere. I'm not sure. You know, we have travels, but it's Jeff's a retired Special Forces Army colonel. We're going to have Jonathan Mosley, our legal person. We got me. We got Gene. You know, we're all going to talk about this. What I want to propose for you to think about, Gene, is that the O'Biden administration, because you know, Biden is there speaking. He's the figurehead. He's the white guy, you know, with the black guy behind him. You know, Obama, Susan Rice, you know, probably Valerie Jarrett, Hillary Clinton, you know, a couple of other the radical leftist women that Obama likes to hang out with. That's the government right now, okay? So tell me if this makes sense, that they did this on purpose, that they wanted the Taliban to be armed, just like they wanted the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt to be armed against the people. They wanted 100,000 Afghan refugees, Muslims flooding into this country, just like they brought Somalis in after the war there, and that's how we got Ilhan Omar. They wanted mass amounts of money from the United States taxpayer to be distributed to the Afghan through the war and the various, you know, ways of social spending and nation building. This is all by design. This is not an accident. They didn't care about the confusion. They wanted the confusion at the airports and everywhere else. That's why they closed the airports first. They wanted this so that we'd be sympathetic to all these Afghan refugees coming to this country, which don't have to come here. This is all by design. They've armed the Taliban, spent $1 trillion, given a whole bunch of money to Muslims, and it created a situation where we might accept 100,000 refugees. I think it's by design. I think they won the Taliban. I think they won the war for the Taliban. The Obama did that. I think this is an Obama. I think Obama's fingerprints are all over this. You get the last 30
seconds. Definitely. And I think it's his way of getting Kamala into office. But the thing is, Kamala should be booted out too for the fact that when Biden gets out, kicked out because of his incompetency in running it, okay, so he's on vacation. What is Kamala doing during this time? But she's, God knows, she has no clue what she's doing. But no, I would have not have thought about that on Sunday. But the more I thought about it yesterday, I was just like, oh gosh, this happened and how it happened. They had it all planned out. Oh yeah, I mean, that with the Taliban, that
hold
just
on.
Didn't
we
happen
hold
overnight.
You up.
That was years in the making.
Yeah, we're out of time. The show's actually over. Tickling your time clock. Oops. Yeah. Got to watch that too, Gene. All right. Anyway, so we're moving back tomorrow with our chat on Afghanistan. Gene, you can expand on your points then. Greg Penglis for Action Radio with our producer, Gene Vernick. I can put you in my thing at the end here. You're listening to blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Support us at patreon.com/actionradio. Listen to us in your vehicle by connecting your phone with us in the browser to the audio. And there you are. I'll be back tomorrow with Gene and Jeff and Jonathan. And anybody else who wants to join us at 7 o'clock in the morning Central Time, see you then.
See ya. Bye.